Well, we're going through the Bible and looking at different aspects of life that the Bible talks about. You know, last week we looked at having Christ on your job as a Christian, and the Bible's full of a lot of advice, a lot of, you know, pictures of a way to live your life, of a standard to live your life. And you know, what we like to try to do is have the first part, you know, for the first maybe 10, 15 minutes, like to talk about very spiritual things, extremely spiritual things. And the last part, talk about very, very practical things. And today, it's husbands. It's kind of fitting for Father's Day, so husbands. At least some husbands are fathers. So before we get into the nitty-gritty details of husbands, I'd like to still talk about the Spirit and the Word, the Spirit and the Word. And as a Christian, you can't get away from these two things. If you have Word without Spirit, it's kind of like having a set of railroad tracks, but nothing to go on the railroad track, or the engine is kind of like sitting there, and it just doesn't move. Everything is laid out perfectly, straight, but the engine doesn't move. If you have only Spirit, but not Word, then you may have fleeting experiences of God. There may be times when you really sense God's presence, or kind of little miracles that you see in your life, but you're not quite sure where are we going with this whole thing. You could liken it to a jet airplane engine that's not attached to the jet, and you have no idea where that thing is going to go. What you need is both, and every Christian needs both. If you don't have both, you're either very wild or very tired, one or the other. Or wild and tired. Yeah, that's right. I went somewhere. I don't know where I am, and I'm exhausted. Nick, are you the example? You know, the best picture of this whole thing is Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is in your program. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Look at that. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Something was formless, void, there was darkness. You know, think about your life. Formless, void, darkness. But you know what? The Spirit is hovering there. And that same word, hovering, is used in Deuteronomy as a hen or a bird just hovering over the eggs of her nest. Spirit is there, hovering. And in this place, in this condition, God says these words, "Let there be light." And you know what? There's a response. There's light. Why is there light? Why was that word effective? Where, well, God is surely, you know, an effective speaker. But the Spirit is there, and the Word is there. And when the Spirit and Word are there, there's action. There's action. It's the same with people. I know a woman, pretty wild. In fact, when she became a Christian, I talked to somebody else on the street, and then they said, on her street, and they said, "What? Her? Pretty wild." And somehow, the Spirit was moving in her. Spirit was moving in her. And part of that moving of the Spirit was, I can't remember, either her father or mother died, just died. And this woman, you know, she had three kids, mid-40s, you know, father or mother died, and she was sitting on her porch trying to figure out what to say at her parents' funeral. And then At that time, we were just kind of like passing out invites to vacation Bible school or something like that. And she filled one out. Her kids never came. But we had all these cards people filled out, you know. And so I remember I and somebody else, we went up there with her, you know, visited her. And she was right on the porch. And I just never saw her before and talked to her. And we said a few words. And I even forget what I said. Or the other person who spoke with me, this was 5 years ago or so. And then she felt like that was God speaking. And that's what she shared at her parents' funeral, what we talked about. And you know what? Later on, about a year later, that woman was baptized and became a believer in Jesus Christ. And you're like, Rex, you're awesome. No, 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 no. It's these two things. There's the Spirit working in her life. And that Spirit was like a hen brooding over her. And then the Word came in. And you know what? The Word came in. And all of a sudden, that woman was obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. And she raised her kids to love the Lord. And she, you know, you just see, wow, it's the move of the Spirit. It's the power of the Word. But you got to have both of them together. And how does the Spirit work in people's lives? I have no idea. Just this kind of thing. This happens. A tragedy in her family. Or, you know, the time, the way time passes on. It was all the Spirit's work. It caused her to be open to the Word. And let me tell you, maybe she heard the Word 1,000 times before that. You know, if you're 45, you hear the Word a lot in this country. You know, when you're flipping through the channels, that annoying guy that comes to your door, that whatever, you know, in college, those Christians that, you know, they say, you know, oh, I'll be your friend if you believe in Jesus, and you hate him, whatever. You hear the Word a lot, but it just never affects you. Why? The Spirit hasn't moved. And then the moment the Spirit moves, some dumpy person comes up and says a little bit about Jesus, and you're like, what? Spirit. Spirit and Word. They go together. They go together. You know, a lot of times it's very easy to take the Bible and let it kill you. And it's biblical that it could kill you. Let me read this. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And let me tell you, this letter can kill. The letter kills. I'll give you an example. You know, no one's thinking about what I'm thinking about right now. But if I would just put up a little sign right here, just a little sign, maybe I'd put it on the, you know, the PowerPoint. No spitting. No spitting. You know, I think a good number of people in this room would start salivating right then, as soon as you see it. You know, you never think about spitting, but then no spitting. Yeah, I could deal with a good spit right now. I don't know. You know, you know, is this something in our nature? You know, you just, you know, and you know, sometimes that's just. It's just how the Bible is. Like, you know, you just don't even think about not doing something, and then you hear something from the Bible, and then you're like, oh, I just want to, you know, and then, you know, what happened? And then you actually do it, you spit, and then I'm like, why? You just spit right in the middle of the church meeting. Why? Get out of here. And then letter kills. That's it right there. You know, you just hear this thing, and there's something in you. You just want to go against it. Or either you want to go against it, or you just can't handle it. Or you know, I've been in situations where, you know, we've circled up. There's some people around, and then the Bible is opened. And something like this happens. This is what the Bible says. You have to do it right now. This is it. You did not do this. Look at this. Look at this. I've been in situations like that. None of them ended well. It's almost like this. Like, wow, before I was a Christian, I had a heavy load on my shoulders. And then, after I became a Christian, you know what happens? The load got heavier. Before I was a Christian, you know, I just had to love the people that liked me, and I liked. I had to love my family, and I wanted to love people around me. Now that I'm a Christian, I even have to love my enemies. That is really hard. What happened? Letter kills. Letter kills. So how do you take the word? How do you take it? That's the question. How do I take the Bible? Well, the Spirit gives life. And you can't disassociate the letter or the word of the Bible with the person of Jesus. Look at this. Look at this verse. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning, look at what they call Jesus, the Word of Life. I like it. You know, the Word, according to the New Testament, it's not just the black and white. It's not just the black and white. It's not circling up, finding out what it is, doing it, although, you know, at least you're safe that way. Whether or not you can do it, I don't know, but at least you're safe. The Word is a person, Jesus Christ. It's a person, Jesus Christ. And when you think about following the Word, you got to like the person, and you have to come into this relationship with a person. And then the more you know Jesus, the more you know Him as this person, the more you realize, wow, He is the Word of Life. The Word of Life. And I like the little progression. That which was from the beginning. Praise the Lord. Jesus is from the beginning. Which we have heard. I'll give you two stories. We've heard. You start off hearing about Him. Heard about Jesus. You know, one time, this is my wife. Rose, can you stand up? This is my wife. Thank you, you sit down. Just so you know. One time I heard about Rose. I heard about her. And, you know, I was 18. When did we drive back from Chicago together? I was 18. Okay, I was 22. Oh my. I was 22 and she was 18. And it's just we heard about it. We were in the car with a couple of other people driving back from some church conference. And then I just heard about her. Oh, that's it. I heard about her. Yeah, I heard about Rose. Nothing. Not that much happened. One time when I was a freshman in college, I had really heard about Jesus. And whatever you would say about Jesus, I might be interested. Just kind of hearing. You hear about Him. Yeah, it's good. It's good. Rose. Oh, yeah, she's good. Smart. Next step. See with our eyes, right? Is that what I say? We have heard. We have seen with our eyes. We've seen with our eyes. And that word, that Greek word, see, is kind of like, I saw the cup. I just saw the cup, yeah. Do I really remember the impact that the cup had on me? No, that's stupid. I just saw the cup. I saw Him with my eyes. And, you know, when we were driving back, from that Chicago conference, I saw Rose. She was sitting in the car with me. I saw her with my eyes. And then she showed me her fish. I remember. Right? Then we go to your house, have lunch. And then she showed me her fish tank. Yeah, oh, salt. She showed me her salt water aquarium. Okay. So I saw this girl's saltwater aquarium. Okay, that's fine. just like you start to see Jesus just a little bit more. And you know, when I was a freshman, you know, I had a thought, like, you know, I was around this group of people, they really love the Lord. And I saw them, and I had this kind of a thought, you know, if uh, If I would ever be serious about following Jesus, I would want to be like them. That was my thought. I saw him. I saw a little bit about Jesus. I heard about him. That's interesting. I saw him. But then, look at this. Look at the verse. Seen with our eyes. I like the turn. We looked at. Looked at. You see with your eyes. That's just like I saw the cup. And then, there's a cup. Oh, my. It's round. You look at it. And this is about Jesus. It's like, no, it's not just you hear, not just you see. Oh, my goodness. Okay. You hear, you see, but you kind of turn. You start to study intently. That's looked at. So one time, you know, I was with somebody else, and he's like, what about Rose? And he's like, Rose. Oh, Rose. Yeah, it's like kind of a intent looking. I didn't just see this girl's saltwater aquarium. It's Rose. And then, you know, there's this time in my life, and I think it was this, you know, when I experienced Jesus talking to me personally, when I started to touch him a little bit more. It's like, oh, yeah. Before that was, oh, yeah, Jesus, yeah. I heard about him. I've seen him. Good. But then you start to look, oh, what is he? Who is he? Let's look. Started to take walks with him, go on dates with him. One time I was walking, and the guy was like, I saw a friend while I was walking. And he was like, what are you doing? I'm just taking a walk. I was praying, just taking a walk with the Lord. And then he's like, you're just taking a walk? That's crazy. Don't you know how many things you have to do? No, I'm taking a walk. Why? I'm taking a look at Jesus. It's something more. There's an advancement. And then, James, come here. Oh, no, maybe Rose is better. Sorry. Yeah, because the next phrase is this. Okay, can you stand up? Your hands handle. Hands handle. James, I would have probably just punched you if my hands handle. Yeah, or I would have gotten punched. Look at that. We have looked at. And our hands have touched. Our hands have touched. You know, there's a certain time when just there was, you know, following Jesus. I came to a point where his following Jesus was not easy anymore. I had to pay a price. My family was like, you're crazy. And I had to say, I see something. My hands handle him. My hands have touched him. And there's kind of a phrase, kind of a feeling like, is this worth it? Is it worth it to follow Jesus like this? Touch him. It's really good. And you know, at that point, you can begin to say, this person is the word of life. It's the word of life. How's it all happen? It's the person of Jesus, but it's also the Spirit. Let me just give you this verse. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of Spirit and life. Actually, if you look at the original language, the words I've spoken to you are Spirit and are life. It's just kind of like this combination. You're becoming closer to Jesus, and you hear the Word. And what's the Word? The Word is full of Spirit. It's full of life. And that Word is it kind of can go two ways. Let me describe the two ways. One is the word can come, and instead of that word being this, James, you have to do this, the word is more, it's the other way. It's full of life. Like, wow, there's a word, and it makes me living. It's full of life, full of spirit. Living is what? It's energetic, it's powerful, it's enlightening, it's directive. And it's also just, you know, just like, just this kind of spirit experience. Let me explain one driveway moment, and then I'm going much slower than what I thought. One driveway moment where I'm so thankful to the Lord for this. I'm so thankful. He's so merciful. He's so incredibly merciful. One time this was at the very beginning of Cleveland Heights Church, before we had our first meeting together, and we were at a barbecue, and it was crazy. There's people all around, and then one person came up, and we had to make a decision about a flyer. We had to make a decision right there, and it was a driveway, in the driveway, and in the middle of a barbecue, and I think about hamburgers and whatever, all this kind of stuff, and getting things done, and then they just ask, Rex, what should we do about this? And then I just said something, boom. And this is not to, like, say I'm so great. I feel like it's the Lord's mercy. And then 6 or 7 months later, I found out what I said was actually according to the Bible. It's so strange. And then other people were like, Rex, why did you all make that decision? Why did you all make that decision? It's like, well, and then I found the Bible verse after I made the decision. It's like, oh, it's right here. And I'm not saying that to say, like, wow, aren't I great? But it's like I want to illustrate spirit and word. Sometimes when you follow the spirit and you just are in spirit and you're following the spirit, your life lives out the Bible. Other times you find the word. And the word comes, and the word gives you spirit and life. It goes both ways. And you say, that's kind of mysterious. It is. It's a mysterious life. But it's spirit and the word. My words are spirit and life. If you look at Jesus, he was led by the spirit, and he cast out demons by the spirit, and he commanded people by the spirit. But you look at his whole life, it's the word of God. It's spirit and the word. They go together. And if we don't have this kind of understanding, experience, yearning for this kind of experience, it's easy to get killed by this thing. It's easy to get killed by this thing. Or you just don't understand. Or it's heavy, or you're too wild, or you're too tired. So, with that lengthy introduction, we get to our topic, which I have about 10 minutes. Husbands. Husbands. You know, so I'm going to talk about husbands, go through a lot of verses about husbands. And from that introduction, I could just say, hey, husbands, you know what you need to do? Live in spirit. And you know what? You'll live this out. That's it. Live in spirit. But it might be kind of a little bit wild, so we need the word to back it up. And then maybe these words also to husbands will be something that will be made alive, and the words will not be letters which kill, but there will be spirit which gives life. Let me describe husbands. You know, it's good to look at the Bible's, what the Bible says a role of a husband is, because there's just a lot of talk in society, a lot of talk. Don't go to, don't go to the movies to see what a husband should be, or don't look at a TV show to see what a husband should be. Don't read novels. Most novels don't have good examples. But it's really good. Look at the Bible. Husbands, listen to this. Husband is the head of the wife. I like this. Head of the wife. And I don't just like this because I'm a guy and a husband. And I'll go home, Rose, your head has entered the house. Your head is in the room now. No, head. Actually, it's much better to be the tail than the head. Because you know what the head does? Okay, the head, on the one hand, the head is the person who, you know, according to the Bible, there's a decision process, you know, in husbands and wives, there's a decision process. And somebody has the final say. There's a CEO, final say, or whatever, a board, a final say. On the one hand, the head has the final say. And so, you know, that's the Bible's view of Christian marriage. Head. There's one head, not two. That's a monster. The head has the responsibility. That's the main thing. Head has a responsibility. And so it's like the head has the responsibility for the marriage, responsibility for the family. It all rests on the head. You know, and guys these days, young men these days, you know, I told them a while ago, you can't just ask your wife what to do all the time and then blame her when things go wrong. No. Head is responsibility. The responsibility is here with the man. And it's kind of like the head has a clear view for the family. I really like it when the husband loves the Lord. And the husband leads the family to love, honor, and worship the Lord. Wow, what a great scene. It's like the husband has this view of like, you know what, with our family, as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. What is that? Head. Responsibility. Direction. There's decisions rest with him. It doesn't mean no input is taken. We'll have other verses. But decisions rest with him, and this kind of leadership comes from the head. If you're a young man, you're not married yet, and you're like, I'm totally irresponsible. Well, first get responsible, then get married. Then there's this other side. Husbands, this is 25, Ephesians 5:25. Love your wives. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You know what the Bible says a husband should be? You should be the head. And you also love your wives. Give yourself up for her just like Christ gave himself up for the church. So you could ask, how much should I give up for my wife? Well, let me tell you. Stop giving yourself up for your wife. According to the New Testament, husbands should stop giving yourself up for your wife when you have 3 nails in you. And when you are on a cross. And when many people are around you mocking you. When you've been scourged. And when God the Father himself has forsaken you, then you can stop. It's just New Testament view. Give yourself up, but be the head. Put them together. How do you do that? Well, New Testament does. Give yourself up does not mean, okay, I'll just do whatever you want. I give myself up. If you want chocolate, I want peanut butter, I'll go with you because I'm giving myself up. No, it's like there's a view. There's a view. I have a view for a family as a head. And to carry out that view and to take responsibility for the whole thing, I give myself up for you. I really love her. I really love her. You know, I just like to be with my wife. I would ask her to go up there.
This was Father's Day, not Valentine's Day.
Well, anyway, I don't know. It's husband, so anyway. This is love. You love. Love the presence. You love the presence of your wife. Love. Love. Just love them. Love them. And You know, to enjoy that love, to enjoy that presence, what's the husband do? I give myself up for her. And sometimes it can be very, very practical. In the old days, it used to be, put the newspaper down and give your wife a hug. Now it's kind of like, get off Facebook and give your wife a hug. You know, I gave up Facebook for my wife. No, I didn't. But I mean, I'm not on Facebook. If you want to be a friend of me, it'll be a while before I accept you. I don't go on that thing. But it's just like, you know, you give up who you are because you love your wife. You love your wife. You know, one time I heard this guy, he was not a Christian, but it's just a good example. He's like, oh, I got to go here. I should go here for my career. But, you know, his wife had a small child. He's like, how could I leave my family at this time? It's like, wow, that's noble. So he would take a hit for his career, for his wife and for his family. Wow, that's not bad. That's not bad. Another person, you know, found his, he was married, having problems, found his soulmate at work. And then just considering, just a lot of consideration. What should I do? What should I do? What should I do? I found my soulmate. And then there's my wife and two kids. And then there's my soulmate. And it was a year or two struggle. And he never crossed certain lines. But he did cross a lot of maybe psychological lines. And the Holy Spirit shined on him and worked on him. And he just felt like, you know, I can't think of one thing my wife has done to deserve me leaving. And so he gave up his soulmate. Praise the Lord. And he had this realization, you know, my wife is given to me by God. And she is the exact person that I need. And you know, right now, his marriage is still there. And his children still have a father who is home every night. What is that? Love her. Give yourself up for her. That's just good. You just be with her. I like this. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. This is 28. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. So this is the view the New Testament takes for husbands. Look at your wife. That is your body, your own body. What do you do with your body? You eat pizza. One time, I was reading this. I didn't mention pizza. I was reading this with one guy, and he was like, I'm going to go buy my wife a pizza. Anyway, I mean, it's part of it, yeah. After all, no one ever hated their own body. They feed and care for their own body. You know what a husband does? Feeds, cares. As materially. Husband takes care of the material needs. This is the New Testament. Puts it on the husband. Take care of the material needs. Food, housing, you know, whatever, appropriate things. Psychological needs. That means, you know, husband's got to talk, tell how your day was, open up, whatever, all that stuff. And even spiritually, husband, feed, nourish the wife. Oh, it's really good. It's really good if a husband could ask, is my wife growing spiritually? Oh, it's really, really good. What do I need to do? Well, I need to not yell at her. Go! Get more spiritual. No. Feed. I like it. Feed. Feed is just, you know, you feed. You feed her physically. You have enough food. You have enough food. Feed her psychologically. Okay. Are your needs being met? Feed her spiritually. You know, how about we pray together? How about we, seek for the Lord? How to meet all of those needs? And also cherish, or is care. Care is cherish. Only other time this word is used in the whole New Testament is a mom and a baby, like this. Can you stand up? You know? But wait. It's opposite. This is the husband, and this is the wife. Right? Husbands, warm your wives. Like that. Thank you. It's warm. Cherish. In all those ways. And wow, like, wouldn't that be great? Like, what a great person to be your head. Wives, somebody who nourishes and cherishes you. See how it works together? Husbands, love your wives. Don't be harsh with them. In other words, just, there's no big Greek word study here. Just don't be harsh with them. Wives does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband in the same way. Husband does not have the authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. Amen. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. I like this. Treat them with respect. You know, one time, this one brother, he was like bragging about his wife. And I was kind of like, what? But I kind of like it. I think wives like to be bragged about by their husbands. It's not bad to, Rose, you're the best. I mean, you're. Okay, well. Okay. Well, yeah, it's good. Treat them with respect. Praise them. You look for things in your wife that are just full of respect. You know, you're just full of respect. And you may say, like, well, sometimes my wife is not that respectable. I mean, like, say, like, look in the mirror. Look in the mirror, bro. But even when they are not respectable, which sometimes they're not, but look for things that are respectable. Hang on to those things. Oh, wow. What a great thing. You know, consider it. Respect them. As fellow heirs, I like this. Treat them with respect as a weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. I like that. I'll just talk about that phrase and end. Heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. You know what husband and wife are? Together, they inherit the gracious gift of life. Or some versions just say, the grace of life. It's like, oh yeah, it's really nice. Can you both stand up? It's like, you know, yeah, it's really nice. Don't they look really nice? Yeah, yeah. And, you know, you serve together, right? Yeah. And together, you're just inheriting grace. And Armin, since you have Alyssa, you can inherit more grace. And Alyssa, since you have Armin, you inherit more grace. And you just look at one another as like, wow, together, because of you, I'm inheriting grace. We're inheriting grace together. We're fellow heirs of the grace of life. This is a great picture. It's like, wow, this is Christian marriage. Thank you. You can sit down. It's Christian marriage. You have a dinner table. When you're husband and wife, you have a dinner table. And you can invite people that are going to hell right to your dinner table. I recommend it. Not that they would really go to hell, but that together you would be able to talk to them. Show them Jesus. And even through your relationship, you would demonstrate Jesus. I know, I'm glad Judy is here. Tony is out of town, huh? He's traveling, yeah. But I remember, I've given this testimony a lot, you know, when I was first kind of like just getting involved with Jesus. I probably had heard and seen, but I hadn't looked and touched yet. I went over to Tony and Judy's house, and I just saw this family. You know, they loved each other. I saw Christ in their family. And I just felt like, wow, that's more powerful than a whole bunch of, like, Bible teaching. It's like, wow, I see it. I see it there. And, you know, it's just a way to inherit life and bless people. And you see, like, wow, my wife is like that. She's a fellow heir with me of the grace of life. You see, wow, this is a thought of husbands. And you may say, like, wow, how can I do this? How can I give up that much for my wife? Or how could I love her like that? And how can I be considerate? How can I respect? How can I do all those things? Just remember Genesis 1. The Spirit was brooding, and the Word came, and it happened. And remember Jesus' words, my words to you, our Spirit and our life. And remember Paul's word, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And with this kind of life, you may just like look back at your life after the Lord has done work in you. You may look back and say, wow, I was just living out those verses. I was just living out those verses. And, you know, this is the way the Spirit and the Word work together. And it's the way our lives are just brought into harmony with the Word of God. So let's just have some prayer. Anyone's free to pray. We can end with that, and then we'll have some announcements.
This is a podcast from Cleveland Heights Church.